The Big Pink auf Flux FM abgespielt mit dem Stückchen How Far We've Come. The Big Pink habe ich ausgewählt, weil der Bandname im Prinzip erfunden worden ist von meinem nun folgenden Gast John Niveness, Autor der Bestseller Kill Your Friends und oder Straight White Male. Und er hat Stephen Stelfox, den Protagonisten seines erfolgreichsten Romans, wiederbelebt, rund 20 Jahre später ist auch dieser gealtert und in der Welt von Brexit und Donald Trump angekommen. Eine Welt, in der sich der Mann, der die Regeln des Turbokapitalismus als Musikmanager verinnerlicht hat, sehr gut zurechtkommt. In Kill 'Em All kehrt Stelfox ins Musikbusiness zurück, um einem alten Freund zu helfen und vor allem, um sehr viel Geld zu verdienen. Es geht um den größten Popstar der Welt, der durchaus Ähnlichkeiten mit Michael Jackson hat, einen Erpressungsversuch und die dreckigen Machenschaften der Plattenfirmen, die damals wie heute scheinbar nur wenig Kunst oder ein wenig Interesse an Kunst zeigen. John Niven ist jetzt bei mir im Studio und ich freue mich sehr, ihn begrüßen zu dürfen. Hello, John. Welcome back.
Hello. Good to be back. Thank you.
How are you doing today? Is everything all right?
I'm good. I'm in Berlin. I'm in lovely Europe, which we're still part of Europe. So I'm very pleased to be here.
Yeah, welcome. It's only a few days left, right?
Well, who knows? I mean, we'll see what happens in the next week, but I'm hopeful that it might not yet happen.
Yeah, yeah.
We might manage to stop this crazy Brexit.
In your book, you talk about Stephen Stelfox, or Stephen Stelfox is returning. It's about the music business. It's about the trying to make something great out of a miserable situation. But it's also a book about the era that we are living in. It's about the era of Trump and Brexit.
Yeah.
And I do love the fact that you're actually screaming at your readers for being so stupid.
Well, because Stelfox, of course, he thinks it's all great.
Yeah.
He thinks Trump and Brexit are both fantastic.
Yeah.
Because it's an opportunity to make money, right?
Sure.
As an A&R guy, Stelfox, if you've read the first book, he was always a populist. You know, he's like the lowest comic. He never wanted to find Radiohead.
No.
He wanted to find the Venga Boys.
Yes, yeah.
Or Ace of Base.
Yeah, the more stupid, the better.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So he's now living in a time where that's everything, you know, where populism has become everything. And so it's his time now. And it seems to me it's a much more fun way to write a book that talks about what we're experiencing just now than to have a very worthy narrator. It's a lot more fun to have somebody who thinks it's great, you know.
You could have written a book about like a left wing community who's against Trump and against Brexit and who have all the arguments against them. But I imagine it must be more fun to look into the head of a guy who's like totally for Trump.
Yeah.
And he's like, I want to make money, and this is like a brilliant opportunity for me because there is going to be less rules to the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me read a real short passage of your book,
man,
so people can feel the vibes that I've experienced. Ihr seid nichts, heißt es im Roman von John Niven, direkt auf Seite 14. Ihr seid nichts. In einer Welt, in der nur das Geld zählt, ist euer Leben ein Pisspot, ein menschliches Urinal. Eure bloße Existenz ist blanker Selbstmord. Das durchschnittliche Jahreseinkommen in Großbritannien beträgt 28.000 Pfund. Ich habe das 20-fache damit verdient, dass ich vor dem Brexit gegen das britische Pfund gewettet habe. Mit einer einzigen Wette auf die amerikanische Präsidentschaftswahl habe ich sogar noch mehr verdient. Warum? Woher ich wusste, wie das geht? Wie ich diese Kaninchen aus dem Hut gezaubert habe, als ihr auf eurem billigen Kunstledersofa gesessen, euch eure ekligen Eier gekrault und beim Pizzaservice eine große Pädophilia mit extra Pimmelkäse bestellt habt, während eure adipösen Monsterweibe in ihren Jeggings über den quietschenden und knarrenden, hauchdünnen Laminatboden gewalzt sind und mit ihrem IMAX-großen Fettarsch den einzigen Wertgegenstand verdeckt haben, den ihr besitzt, einen riesigen Plasmafernseher, ne? Den ihr zweifellos bei einem Elektromarkt mit so einem klangvollen Namen wie Pöbelhaus XXL auf Kredit gekauft habt, zu einem Jahreszins von 3000%. Ich wusste, was ich zu tun hatte, weil ich aus meiner Zeit in der Musikbranche eine sehr wichtige Lehre gezogen habe. In den 20 Jahren, in denen ich einen dampfenden Haufen Scheißmusik nach dem anderen in Idiotenkehlen gestopft habe, habe ich etwas gelernt, was mir in der Vergangenheit immer wieder verdammt gute Dienste geleistet hat. Und das ist Folgendes: Unterschätze niemals den schlechten Geschmack des Pöbels. Never underestimate the bad taste of the public.
You can read that in the radio here.
I just did. Was my last show, though. It's been a blast, though.
It was fun going down with you, man.
Yeah, but I love the tone that you're using, and I love the way that Stephen Stelfox is like looking down on everybody. And I was asking myself, in which state of mind does one have to be to ride like that? I was imagining like Shining, kind of like like sceneries where you talk to your wife like, no, I have to ride. I'm in a state of Stelfox mind now. Leave me alone. I'm getting the axe out of the kitchen.
No, I think I'm not like that because I get to write. Maybe if I didn't get to write it, I might be worse to live with. But if you meet the kind of guy who Stelfox is based on, I'm sure you get them in the radio industry, you get them in the music business, people who tend to end up running the corporations, they speak as if they are absolutely certain about everything.
Yeah.
And if you probably looked at 10 of their predictions, they probably got 8 wrong.
Yeah.
But, you know, they never attach themselves to the failures. Yeah.
They ignore that and only look at the...
Or like Trump, you know?
Yeah.
He's exactly that guy, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, it was the greatest inauguration ever, right?
And just ignore the truth.
Yeah.
It doesn't suit you.
Yeah, but that's another interesting part of your book because... It's when you're looking at it on another level, it's like a philosophical book about truth as or the new definition of a word like truth, right?
Yeah, it's kind of very much a novel set in the post-truth world. Because one of the plot strands involves a character called Lucius Dupre, who's, let's say, somewhat inspired by a dead American pop singer in the news recently. Yeah, yeah.
it's based on Michael Jackson.
Yeah, it's Michael Jackson. Yeah. And when I wrote the novel, I got a lot of people saying, oh, whoa, you've gone too far with this. And it's like, you know, it's too much. And then the documentary Leaving Neverland aired in the UK about 4 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the response that my book jumped about 10,000 places up Amazon bestsellers list. And I was getting messages from people saying, how did you know? Some of the scenes in the book are like, describing exactly what the kids in the documentary saying. I had kind of
because you still have ties to the music industry.
Well, I've kind of been obsessed with Jackson for a long time, I believed he was guilty, and you know, no matter what his sentence was, what the jury found, you know, and it seemed to me that his life, even the basic facts of Jackson's life, are quite good material for a novel.
Totally.
So then once you put it in a comic novel and you can pump it up and exaggerate it a little, it becomes a lot of fun, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, Stelfox knows that in the post-truth world, you can kind of say anything you want, and there's no accountability.
No.
You can get away with anything.
Yeah. He comes up with a plot.
Yeah.
We can't tell too much. We can't talk about it too much. But he comes up with a plot to kind of save the record industry and kind of save the biggest pop star of the world at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's the stupidest story. I mean, not stupid, but it's like
it's
the weirdest story that you can imagine.
Yeah.
But in a post-truth world, it's not even stupid or crazy enough. People are like, yeah, sure, we're believing it because in a world like this.
I think when you say stupid, it's almost true because I'm agreeing with you because I think we live in a time where satire really has its work cut out with something like Trump in the White House and Brexit happening.
Yeah.
The real world is so crazy that the satirist has to work pretty hard to push the envelope.
How can I top that?
Exactly.
What Theresa May has just said, how can I top that?
Exactly.
Yeah, but that's an interesting part of the whole book. So how important do you think is looking into the heads of populists to deconstruct their ideas? Because I've just told you about Vernon Subutex by Virginie Despentes. It's a brilliant book that's kind of like, it is working in the same area. Do you think that, because I have the feeling that you do know how those people think, because there's people who Stelfox is based on, and you have had your experiences. And I think that you do understand their ideas a little bit more, and maybe you can deconstruct them better.
I think well, the record industry, the major label record industry that I worked in, was all about populism. And, you know, politics has increasingly become more and more like entertainment.
Yes.
Until with Trump, there's no distinction.
Yeah.
You know, it's a reality TV star who's now the most powerful man on the planet.
Yeah.
So it's all these areas that I've long had an interest in. And populism, just simply, it's telling people what they want to hear. You tell them, you gauge your audience and you think, I'm going to tell them this rubbish and lies because they're going to respond to it.
Yeah, sure.
And so it's kind of interesting to get into the head of that. I'm not sure how much good you can do with literature and stopping it. I don't know what you can do now. This, I mean, it's kind of Vladimir Putin's world now of kind of post-truth and subversion and open propaganda warfare. And it's going to be very hard to end all that, I think.
To
stop it.
Because you don't want to use the same tools as the right-wing people are using.
No, it's because it's lies, right?
Yeah.
You're using lies and deception and false flags and deceit. And it's, you know, classic Kremlin black ops sort of tactics, you know?
Totally, yeah.
Putin must go to bed every night crying with laughter at what he's caught, you
totally,
know?
Yeah.
America and the UK are both like 2 degrees off civil war. And he's just done all this with a few tweets, with a few idiots in a troll factory in St. Petersburg.
But I really dig that the deconstructing those systematics as well in the book, that you're talking about bots, that you're talking about fake Twitter accounts who are trying to influence people to vote.
Yeah.
And
working,
other things.
And succeeding.
Yeah, it's working. That's the sad thing, I guess. Yeah. Now, before we talk a bit more about the book, let's listen to a song that you've co-written. I mean, you've co-written the lyrics to the song.
Yeah, this was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I'm impressed you found this with James Bradfield from Manic Street Preachers.
You've co-written two songs, I guess?
I think two or three in the album.
Emmy Gray and this one that we have on right here.
There was another song that I think wound up being a B-side of. But it was like, you know, 13 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I haven't heard this in probably 13 years. So
Let's check the quality of the lyrics in that song.
Yeah, I just wrote some lyrics. I didn't do the music.
James Dean Bradfield, mit Still a Long Way to Go. Mitgeschrieben wurden die Lyrics von meinem Gast John Niven über dessen aktuelles Werk Kill 'Em All, wir gerade ausführlich sprachen. Ein Buch, das durchaus auch in die Köpfe von Populisten hineinblickt. Ein Buch über einen ehemaligen Musikmanager, der sich sehr gut zurechtfindet in der turbokapitalistischen Welt von Brexit und Trump. James Dean Bradfield, Still a Long Way to Go. Ein Stück Musik, das mein Gast John Niven mitgeschrieben hat. Die Lyrics hat er mitgeschrieben. Und nun sprechen wir aber über seinen neuen Roman Kill 'Em All, in dem er Stephen Stelfox wiederbeleben lässt oder wiederbelebt hat. Stephen Stelfox ist der Held des Erfolgsromans Kill Your Friends, der ja auch verfilmt worden ist. Damals ein Mann aus der Musikindustrie, der hier im neuen Werk Kill 'Em All in diese zurückkehrt, um Lösungen zu finden für ein großes Problem, das die Plattenfirma hat. Mit dem größten Popstar aller Zeiten, der muss quasi kurzfristig aus dem Verkehr gezogen werden. When I was reading the book, I was thinking about conspiracies, obviously, because there's a lot of conspiracy stuff in there. Mm-hmm. And Stelfox is thinking about Elvis still being alive. There might be a possibility that Elvis is still alive. And after I've read the book, I'm not really finished yet. There's like 50 pages that I have to go through. But I've read the book and I was like, oh, man, there's this slightly little chance that Michael Jackson is still alive. he's been hidden by the record company, because it would have been such a brilliant move to just, you know, just a few years before everything comes out about his pedophilia, just pretend that he's dead, sell millions of records one more time.
Thankfully, I think he is dead, Jackson. But the moment you talk about in the book, it's with Stelfox. He has this problem with the Lucius Dupre character, who's basically about to be blackmailed by the parents of a kid who he's been having sex with. And the scandal would be so huge that it would actually bring down the record company as well as him. So Stelfox's first reaction is, well, why don't we just kill him? And then he thinks, well, you know, the supermarket, the tabloid rumors, you know, did Elvis really die? Elvis might be working in a gas station in Texas, or he's in Thailand. So he has the idea, well, we're going to fake this guy's death, and then we're going to hide him away somewhere, and then about 6 months later we're going to bring him back from the dead. Miraculously, he's going to reappear, and we're going to sell a billion records. And of course everyone around
the Resurrection album, I love it.
That's right, the Resurrection. And of course everyone around him says, you're crazy, you can't, that'll never work. And with while they're having this conversation, they're in a boardroom at the record company and the TV's on, and it's Trump up talking about his inauguration, the biggest crowd in history.
Yeah.
And Stale Fox just points at the TV and he goes, you don't get it. You don't understand where we are now.
Yeah.
It does, nothing matters. We can say whatever we like. Yes. You know, but we just, you get up there and you repeat the lie over and over again with a big microphone in front of you and we'll be okay.
Yeah. There's one little thing that you write in the book and I find that it's a really interesting thing that you've learned and watched is that you say, we once did live in a time where one could say, this is my truth, show me yours. Mm. But now we live in a time where you go, this is my lie, now prove me wrong.
Prove me wrong. And as we know, to forensically prove a lie wrong is quite a lot of work you know, in a courtroom situation, you know?
Yeah.
So, and it happens all the time now on Twitter and in America. You see somebody will say something that's simple fact and then some alt-right guy will produce some crazy figures that challenge it. And then there's suddenly a debate where there should be no debate. It's, you know, common sense point, but you can muddy the water now on anything.
Totally. Totally. You can basically say whatever you want and pretend it to be true.
Yeah.
And if you find enough friends on the internet, quote,
of course, it used to be that if politicians did some of this stuff, they would be, you know, they'd be finished.
Yeah.
They'd be, but Trump has proved that there's no accountability. You can scandal, one scandal that would have wrecked another politician. He has five a week for that and nobody cares, you know?
I mean, that's the thing that's happening here as well. There's people standing on pedestals talking to people and pretending that if we all turn right on the next corner, that's going to be the solution to all those complex problems that the world is facing. Whereas the truth is that there's you have to take a more complex route to find out of the situation. You can't just turn right. It's not working.
It's like everything's reduced to memes. You know, it's like a little image with some text on it that gets retweeted and posted on Facebook. Yeah. And they've done a lot of heavy lifting for the far right, these sort of memes.
Sure.
I mean, the Christchurch killer in New Zealand last week, he said in his manifesto, create memes, share memes, make memes.
Yeah.
And it's terrifying that, you know, because you can't reduce some of these complex political issues just to a little photograph and a bit of type.
I think there's a part in the book where there's like the picture of a cassette or something or a part of the Holocaust. And then on the other side of the spectrum, there's a picture of Pepe the Frog. And it's more powerful than the picture of the concentration camp because... Uh-huh. It's the times that we're living in. Yeah. It's really, it's a bit, it can disturb.
Oh, yeah. It's I can get very disturbed thinking about where we are and where we're heading.
Yeah. But how important was that fury about the situation that we're living in to write that book to make Stale Fox reappear? I mean, there's obvious reasons to keep the motherfucker alive.
Well, quite a lot. But I always knew that I would bring him back around now. Because I like the idea of having a character who you can use every 10 years to examine the times you're living in.
Uh-huh.
But if you told me when the first book was published in 2008 that we'd be living in what we're living in now, I'd have thought you were insane.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have believed it possible that things could get as crazy.
Yeah, because you would have imagined that people are not as stupid enough to eat
that. Yeah, well, also, I don't think social media had been weaponized in the same way 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It used to be people just sharing cat pictures and... You know, jokes and celebrities saying things. And and now suddenly it's like a cesspit of lunacy, you know?
Yeah, totally true. So tonight you're going to be on stage at Pfefferberg Theater with Nagel from Muff Putter again.
My old friend, Thorsten Nagelschmidt.
Yeah. He's your partner in crime for the literature of your career.
10 years now.
Yes.
Well, we're not just for that. We're friends, you know. We're on vacation together in the Caribbean this year in January.
Nice.
Yeah, he came.
Mean, you do need inspiration for all the Caribbean parts in the book, right?
You know, it's all about
the inspiration.
I work so hard.
I feel that, John. I really do feel that.
Nagel and I are on tour, so we do Berlin tonight, and then we do, I think, Frankfurt or tomorrow, and then Leipzig,
Cologne,
Munich.
So he's going to interview a little bit and he's going to read some German parts of the book?
He'll read the German parts and ask me some intelligent questions, hopefully. And
I mean, after this, you really must be looking forward to some intelligent questions.
If Nagel gets sick, I'll be giving you a call.
Heute Abend also im Pfefferberg Theater die Lesung von John Niven, der Kill 'Em All nochmal vorstellen wird. An seiner Seite Thorsten Nagelschmidt, better known as Nagel von Moff Potter. Er wird ein paar Fragen stellen und die deutschen Parts vortragen. Wir können Tickets verlosen für diese Leseveranstaltung unter der 030 2000 9000. Berlin 2000 9000, das ist die Nummer zum Glück für die Tickets für John Niven heute Abend im Pfefferberg Theater. Und wir dürfen auch Bücher verlosen. John, you're gonna sign?
Yeah.
Few of these books, that would be cool. Wir können drei Bücher verlosen. John Niven, Kill 'Em All. Dafür eine Mail an win@fluxfm.de mit dem Betreff Kill 'Em All. Eine Mail an win@fluxfm.de mit dem Betreff Kill 'Em All. Schreibt eure Adresse mit rein und wir schicken euch das Buch zu. So, this is released in Germany now.
Yeah.
But you've already put out another book in England, right? Dead the Impaler, is that out?
No, not yet. No. That's going to be another year, I think.
Okay.
I'm still working on that. But yeah, it's somehow the internet thinks it's coming out soon. But it's not, no.
but we live in a time where I think when it's on the internet, it must be the truth.
It must be true, yeah. It's kind of what we're talking about, right?
So as soon as that one is done and you want to talk about it, you'll just contact us.
Of course.
I want to do more of this.
Of course.
John Niven war bei mir im Studio fürs Buch Kill 'Em All. Schreibt uns eine Mail an win@fluxfm.de mit dem Betreff Kill 'Em All. Und für die Lesung könnt ihr uns anrufen unter der 030 2000 9000. Ein Lied noch, das zum Thema passt. Primal Scream would kill all hippies. I think that's another song that kind of fits.
Great one to go with. Thank you, man.
Bye-bye.